This is a replay of the Wednesday night, September 25th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and well, we have him. For a moment there, I was worried we were trying to call Fred Brunson, but busy guy that he is, went to voicemail. He called us. So, this story is fascinating, and you're about to hear it. But if you don't know Fred Brunson, well, obviously you're just not much of a fan of music. I say that because his books, many of which are just reference points, the number one books and so much more, and you'll find out all about them. I've got the link on Raleigh.net to FredBrunson.com. But before we do anything else, let's welcome him. So, Fred, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thanks, Raleigh. I don't know about that voicemail thing. Boy, that caught me by surprise. But here we are.
Oh, yeah. We've been calling. It goes direct to voicemail. And I was writing you an email. I won't send it now, obviously. And the email said, are you sure this is your number? But
yeah, well, I'm glad I connected with you. Thanks.
Yeah, no, you know, we've known each other well over 40 years, and of course, when you were first writing the number one books, they're just such a godsend. I absolutely love them. But you know, something I didn't realize was you had done the Dick Clark book.
Yes. So I worked with Dick for like 35 years, and one day he called me into his office and said, I just made a book deal. You want to write a book about American Bandstand? Didn't take me very long to say yes.
Absolutely. So I got to ask, because Dick was never too generous in giving credit where credit was due, but was there much on Bob Horn?
Yeah, there was. Okay. I'll tell you why. When we started the book, Dick said, look, and not necessarily talking about Bob Horn, but he said, for most of my career, I have not said a lot of things. I didn't want to offend anybody. You know, you say something and you might lose half your audience. So I just, you know, kept going without getting into personal things. I think it's time. Let's just talk about everything. And he said, I want to be honest. I don't want this to be a milquetoast book. So I had free rein to go anywhere.
Oh, wow. All right, and I know I've got a link to your books page, and I'm going to order that on Amazon to read every word of it. That's terrific. Now, when you reached out a few months ago about Rockin' in the Kremlin, I said, yeah, send it, and you did. And at first I looked at it, and of course, David Junk, it is his story. I see, he's born in 1965, and clearly he grew up on AOR radio and all that. Well, I don't know. And, you know, I was, let's right. face it, I was predisposed against this book from the start. And I started
Fair
to,
enough.
Yeah, but I started to read it, and it was just spellbinding. I had, you know, like everybody else would say, I had no idea. So this is a kid, David Junk, who grew up, I mean, he's not a kid now, obviously, but at the time, who grew up in the farmland of Ohio, closest city is Milquetoast Columbus, and he's listening to AOR, And I found it interesting that in college he's studying Chinese. So right there I say, well, he's a little different. And next thing I know, he goes over to see The Wall, the concert that Pink Floyd made good on, which is amazing. But the next thing I know, he's got a Jones to go to Russia. Now, when he was first interested in Russia, was he already putting it together with music?
No. His first job that took him to Russia, he went to work, was going to school in San Francisco.
Yeah.
He got a job with a Russian diamond company that had opened an office in San Francisco, and they sent him to their Moscow office. So that was his introduction to Russia, and that job ended pretty horribly because the Russian diamond company was stealing diamonds from Russia, and David almost went to Siberia, but he didn't do it. Yeah, so that job ended, and then he saw an ad for Heinz ketchup in Russia and thought, well, I'll apply for that. And a week later, there's another one ad for Polygram Records, and he said, oh, that'd be much more interesting. So, no, it wasn't for music at first.
Well, and you talk about that in the book, obviously. And yes, after I read about the diamond debacle, which literally almost did wind him up in Siberia, and even after he was at Polydor, he was a Polygram, he was still worried for a while. Normally, I'd think, well, I'd be on the next plane out of there. But so he goes to the record industry, and the first thing I discover is why the record companies don't want to be in Russia. The idea of the bootlegging is just unbelievable.
Yeah, they had 90% of sales were for bootlegged and pirated CDs that sold for $2, whereas Polygram was putting out the real CDs for $20. So think about it. Why wouldn't you go buy a CD if you're just, a person living your life in Moscow, and you can buy Elton John for $2, and they've added Rocket Man to it because they could put anything they want on a CD. So it was a huge problem.
Absolutely, and made worse by the fact that these were good quality boots. This wasn't garbage. I mean, the quality of the records was as good as buying it from the label. So I'm not surprised that the companies gave up their the idea and said, put up their hands in the air and said, I give up. Why did Polygram decide that they were going to open an office?
Well, it really goes back to the Scorpions, Wind of Change, a song that was an anthem for, what was changing, the fall of the Soviet Union and Glasnost in Russia. And, in fact, the Scorpions were welcomed to the Kremlin by Gorbachev.
Wow.
And a Polygram representative went with them. And that started the seed of maybe we should open it up. Maybe things are changing. And we should open an office here.
Wow. Now, of course, what I also found interesting is maybe they weren't changing so fast. So was bootlegging really David Junk's biggest problem when he went to Polygram?
It was one of his biggest problems, yes. Because how can you make money if 90% of Bon Jovi's records are not your, they're bootlegs. All the money is going to the pirates, which was really, that whole industry was controlled by the Russian mafia, and they were using the money to fund terrorism, sex trafficking. It wasn't going to charity. So it was a fight. And as you know, because from the book, one of the things he found out was when he went with Interpol and Russian police to go shut down one of the pirate factories, it turns out it was on a military base, and the military police trumped, pun intended, trumped the Moscow local police. They couldn't get, they weren't even allowed onto the base. They couldn't do anything. So what eventually happened is that David had a talk with the U.S. ambassador at the time, and said, we need to solve this problem. he convinced the U.S. ambassador to Russia to talk to George Bush and say, unless you shut down piracy, you can't join the World Trade Organization. And that worked.
Wow.
And so the Russian government became cooperative. And, you know, they also weren't getting any tax money from the pirates.
Right.
So it was a boon to them to have a legitimate business and collect tax on these sales.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting when he gets there and he finds out it's the military and, oh, my God, the government's involved in with us. At this time, you and I would have been packing our bags and saying, going home. And of course,
yeah.
You know, as it plays out in the book, it wasn't overnight that they were able to, in fact, combat terrorism. So a lot more was involved. And one of the interesting things was, I think initially from the book, I came away thinking that initially their thought was they wanted to sell their product in Russia. They weren't so much thinking of it in terms of they wanted to develop Russian artists.
Well, actually, that was one of David's goals.
Right.
When he went there. His role models were David Geffen and Clive Davis, you know, people who ran very successful labels in America. So he wanted to do, he had many things he wanted to do. He wanted to fight piracy. He wanted to bring artists from the West to Russia to perform, and he did.
Yeah.
And he wanted to develop Russian artists that could be popular in the rest of the world. And his model, you know, what he was telling the Russians was, look at ABBA in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
They have made Sweden a lot of money, and your Russian artists can do the same for you. They can be international artists. So that was one of his main goals.
And it happened. We're talking to Fred Bronson, fredbronson.com. And if you go to raleigh.net, the link right to Rock in the Kremlin is right there. It is a fascinating read. And even if the music is not in your wheelhouse, which certainly isn't in mine, this book will just captivate you. And it's an interesting look at the world, not only musically, but politically as well. And we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Obviously, Pink Floyd, and this is in some ways the impetus for David Junk and his odyssey. I mean, here's Pink Floyd saying, well, if the wall ever falls, we'll play there. And sure enough, it does, and they make good on their promise. And next thing you know, kid standing in line in Columbus to buy a ticket is none other than David Junk. And we're talking about his story. Rock in the Kremlin is the book, and Fred Bronson is the author. And he's writing, obviously, David Junk in many ways is the author, but he's writing just eloquently for David's thoughts there. And we're talking to him. So, all right, Fred. So here we are. And, you know, as I say, I think when David wanted to break records of Russian artists, I'm not 100% sure the label initially was thinking about that. They were, from what I gathered from your book, they were thinking more in terms of, well, let's sell, you know, other records in Russia. So now we're talking imports. And I think here's the next big shock to the record industry. Hip-hop becomes the big import. Now, how did that happen?
Well, it's a great story, actually, how it happened. So David's sitting in his office, and, of course, their courier package is going back and forth from Universal in Los Angeles and also in London. And he gets a package from L.A., and he opens it up, and it's, you know these, it's a white label vinyl album. There's no information, no artist name, no song titles. So he puts it on his turntable. And he is totally blown away. it's an artist no one had ever heard of at this point. In fact, he was told, do not share this with anybody yet. It was Eminem, the Marshall Mathers LP, the very first album. And David just went, this is incredible. This is genius. This is going to be huge in Russia. And he disobeys his bosses, and he immediately brings it to the radio stations, and they play it. And Eminem, that album, sold massive amounts in Russia, way more than a lot of other countries. In fact, Eminem came to Russia and thanked David for selling so many copies of his debut album. And that sparked the whole hip-hop movement in Russia, paved the way for Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and Jay-Z. They all became big in Russia. And then Russian hip-hop artists started recording. Homegrown Russian hip-hop, and is still a force in Russia today.
Probably more so than anywhere in the world, or so it seems. And
it's huge.
Yeah, it is huge. And again, the record labels never would have known this, because never in their wildest dreams would they have expected this to work in Russia. Why did David think it would work?
He heard something in that album. And, you know, I grew up with when you grew up, so yeah. I'm like you. Not all the music, you know, that's necessarily in the book is my favorite either. I don't hate it, but, you know, I'm more Leslie Gore and Bobby D, and along come the Beatles and Motown,
right.
You know. But he heard something in that Eminem album, try to say that 10 times, that he just got it. He got it. And look, a lot of people agreed with him. A lot of musicians, you know, were huge Eminem fans. It wasn't my music either, but he got it.
Which is amazing. Now, also with a political backdrop, one of the things about Russia is they're really against any artist who will do anything that in any way disses the establishment, so to speak. And I would have thought that, to say the least, I would have thought that hip-hop would be threatening.
Well, I think it sort of got away from them. And to be honest, there have been artists who are anti-establishment that Russia has allowed to be. Now, I don't know about today, but in the time that David was there. So the Russian, the most popular famous Russian female artist, the diva of Russia, is Alla Pugacheva. I know we don't know her here,
right?
But she is like the Barbra Streisand of Russia. And in her act, she puts down communist leaders, and all the communist leaders were in the front row, and they were enjoying it. So
wow.
there have been artists who have gotten away with it.
Just absolutely amazing. And the other thing, of course, is there were acts that David developed that sold well outside of Russia. The story of Tatu, or T-A-T-U, if you will, is fascinating as well. But before that, he was developing a gal, and I found this story fascinating because the gal would have gone so much further if her father wasn't involved with Russian politicians and everything else. What went bad there?
Yes, everything. First David discovers her and thinks, this is going to be my Britney Spears, my Christina Aguilera, and I can break her outside of Russia. Her name was Alsu. She was a teenage girl, the first Russian artist signed to Universal Music Russia, and he takes her to the Eurovision Song Contest, which gives her a global audience, especially in Europe and Australia. And she comes in second, does very well. I mean, that was the best Russian placing, you know, to that date. And he gets her signed to Universal in London, in the UK. And they're all, you know, just, they want to push her. She's got this huge British fan base now because of Eurovision. And then, sadly for her, all those people are fired.
Yeah.
And new people come in, and because they didn't sign, you know this story, they didn't sign Alsu, they have no interest in her.
Right.
And that's the end. And once the UK isn't interested, then France is not interested.
Right.
Spain is not interested. So, but David tries to rescue her, and he brings her to America to meet with Leah Cohen at Def Jam. And he likes her, and he's really interested in her. And then she's in his office, and he wants to know if she's going to really go for this. And he says, "I'll sue. Are you hungry?" And she says, "Oh, no, I had a muffin this morning." And that started sort of the end of her American career.
Yeah.
And the father, of course, was very upset. And what really sealed the deal in America against her was David got her to perform at a Trump casino in Atlantic City. And Leah Cohen borrowed Donald's helicopter and flew them all to the venue from New York City. And the father berated Leah, saying, "Why did you drop her in England?"
Oh, no.
Which Leah had nothing to do with,
right.
Of course. He's in America. He had no part in what happened in the UK. And he just didn't like being yelled at by the father. And that was the real end of I'll Sue in America.
Sad, sad story. We're talking to Fred Bronson, fredbronson.com. Rockin' the Kremlin is the book, the story of David Junk. And we'll pick it up there in moments here on WGN Radio.
Get in the box and shut your mouth. I'm shipping you far away. There's a book inside on Kodiak dances and a comet flag to wave. You say we when you mean me, so reckon Red'll let you stay. Inside of a year you'll be premier, cause you're seeing things their way. To Russia with care, the address reads, they're needing propaganda like you. A talking machine, a spouting pretty dreams that never, never do come true. I'm shipping you by air to Russia with care. You don't fit the USA. Gal, I've had it. Now Moscow gets it. Go turn all the red hair gray.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I couldn't resist it. Yes, every Russian stereotype on a 45 RPM Harold Weekly, 1966 on Columbia to Russia with care always makes me smile. But for the most part, sadly, that's probably what most Americans view Russia to be and the Soviet Union. Now we have the wall falling and freedom reigning. I put that in quotes. And we have David Junk in the middle of Moscow. And talking to Fred Bronson, of course, fredbronson.com, and Rockin' the Kremlin is the book. In addition to what I learned about music, hip-hop being big in Russia, probably the most noteworthy, although he did a hell of a thing with dance music, too, to a lot of people's surprise. But what was also interesting to me, Fred, is that you really got a look at the area. You know, when I read about him doing a music festival in Transylvania, you know, most of us can't find Transylvania on a map as far as that goes. But more recently, of course, Ukraine's in the news every day, whether you want it to be or not. And David had some great insight into Ukraine. He loved it.
He did. So after a while of being the CEO of Universal Music Russia, he was also named VP of Eastern Europe. So all of Eastern Europe fell under his, you know, domain. And that meant going to all these countries. And in Ukraine in particular, he opened a Universal Music office, which really was the start of a music business in Ukraine that wasn't Russian. Up to that point, everything in Ukraine, you know, Russia, they really want to eliminate Ukrainian culture and replace it with Russian culture. So this Universal Music Office Ukraine was a sea change, and he signed Ukrainian artists. Other record labels followed into Ukraine, as they did in Russia after Universal. He produced a television show called An American Chance in Ukraine, where he wanted to put together a Ukrainian version of the Spice Girls, and it was filmed in Los Angeles. They did auditions in Ukraine, and the five finalists came to Hollywood and had all these adventures in Hollywood on Ukrainian television. So he did a lot there and developed a lot of friendships, a lot of work colleagues, and as you know from the epilogue of the book, he returned to Ukraine actually twice last year in the middle of the war, which was, I wouldn't have done it, but he was very brave. And he actually wanted to be there on the night of the 2024 Eurovision Song Contest, which Ukraine was supposed to host, but of course could not during the war. So he wanted to be there with his friends to watch the event on television live. And shortly after the live broadcast started, Moscow launched the first hypersonic missile at Kyiv, and they had all run for the shelters. And he spent almost every night in a shelter as the city came under attack.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. Now, you mentioned him being brave. Well, I first got a real glimpse into his bravery when he interviewed with Polygram, when he was told, well, we'll pay your wife $1 million if you have a violent death, and we'll pay up to $5 million if you're kidnapped. I mean, most of us would say, okay, see you later, bye. And with that in mind, he went. So clearly, he was not going to let any of this deter him. Now, to most of us, we can't separate Ukraine from Russia from anybody else in the Eastern Bloc for the most part. But what I found really interesting was that David really saw dramatic differences between Ukraine and Russia. And in fact, it appears that, I don't know if this is the impetus for the war or whatever, but there was just wonderful farmland and wonderful culture. And with that in mind, what differentiated the culture of Ukraine from Russia?
Well, and you're right about the golden fields of wheat, by the way, because Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe and beyond, and that's definitely something Russia wanted. But this goes back centuries, you know, Russian domination of Ukraine and wanting to erase their culture and replace it with Russian culture. You know, when they went into Crimea, again, as you know from reading the book, people that David thought were reasonable people were telling him, you know, Crimea is ours, and now we can go there on vacation again because they have the best beaches. So there's this ownership that Russia feels toward Ukraine, and I think it is hard for us to understand here, but David lived through it, saw it from both sides, you know, and understood what was going on, and was a big part of establishing Ukraine's own culture.
Yeah, and really codifying it and making it preserved in some ways as well. We're talking with Fred Bronson, and Rockin' the Kremlin is the book. As I say, even if it's not your music, I'll tell you what, it is just a window on the world, and in some ways so very apropos to today's news. So I'd say read it. I couldn't stop reading it. 888-876-5593 if you've got specific questions. Otherwise, I will continue to hog Fred. But believe me, Rockin' the Kremlin, so fredbronson.com. If you go to raleigh.net, I've got a link right to the books, and you can order it for yourself. Now, if you listen to this show, the one thing I know about you is you love radio, or you wouldn't put up with me. Well, then you should know about the Sea Crane Company, and maybe you do. And, you know, I'm always talking about how great their radios are because all of them have amazing reception, both AM and FM, the kind of reception that radios used to have 50 years ago. Well, it's not only radio. Bob Crane has brought reception to the internet. internet as well with his CC Wi-Fi 3. You know, if you've got a wireless access point and you know what it's like, sometimes whatever you're trying to connect to it is dropping or you're not picking things up, and maybe you've got a Wi-Fi radio and maybe it connects or it doesn't. Well, the CC Wi-Fi 3 is rock solid. It will connect no matter how paltry your wireless access point is. But not only that, it is intuitive. You will not need to read the manual. It is just so easy to operate that you just plug it in, tune it in, you'll be there. Now, of course, you can go to ccradio.com, and I hope you will, ccradio.com, read all about the CC Wi-Fi 3 and get all the instructions you ever would want. But I'm telling you, it is something that you won't be signing up for an app. You won't have any microphone to worry about. There are no ads on the screen, no monthly fees. It's got a full-size remote control, too, so what it really has is radio stations and audio from all over the world. Imagine having over 30,000 radio stations from which to choose. Now, if you can't go online, I normally would say call them, but of course, if you can't go online, you don't want the CC Wi-Fi 3, but it makes a terrific gift. So 800-522-8863 is their phone number. They'll answer all your questions, and they'll even send out a hard copy of the catalog as well. But if you can go online, yeah, you check it out. You'll be drooling. CC Wi-Fi 3 from the Sea Crane Company. CCRadio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, of course, Chuck Berry back in the USA, 1959 on Chess, and we're just about to get to David Junk coming back to the USA, not that he's going to stay, but Rockin' the Kremlin is the book, and Fred Bronson is the author, and it is just a fascinating read, and an insight that you otherwise wouldn't get into a world that's literally on the news every day. So, Fred, when David decides to leave, I was a little surprised at first. He married a Russian woman. He's getting a family together. I thought, well, he's there forever. What was the impetus to come back to the States the first time?
Well, good question. So, terrorism, actually. I'm going to mention some events that, you know, people have heard about. There was the takeover of a theater by Chechens, and hostages were being held inside a theater, and a lot of the hostages died, but so did a lot of Russian citizens die in an attempt to rescue them. Mm-hmm. So that was one terrorist event. And then there was a horrible first day of school terrorist attack where children were held hostage, and almost 200 children died in the attempt to rescue them, which both events David blames on Russian security. Mm-hmm. And then after that, David had hosted a UK executive, Max Hole, from Universal Music in London, and they're walking down the street, and in front of them, there's an explosion in the subway and smoke pouring out of a subway station. There had been an attack, from Chechens in Russia. And it was just too dangerous. Yeah. He sent his wife and children back to America. Well, to America for her.
Right.
And he wanted to follow, but He wanted to wind things up in Russia, so eventually he joined them in America, and he was there for several years, but he went back in 2013 to head up the first Gibson guitar showroom in Moscow, and then came Crimea, you know, the first invasion of Ukraine, and that was it for him. So he returned to America and has been back here ever since.
And I understand that when he went back the second time, he didn't bring his family because had he done that, his sons could have been drafted into the Russian military. So yeah. they stayed behind. Now he's in Southern California today, I understand.
Yes, he runs the Bang & Olufsen stores in Southern California.
Yeah, how nice. And is his wife still with him?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
They've been together, I think, almost 30 years, and their sons are adults now.
Yeah, and are their sons still stateside?
They are.
Okay.
They are. And, of course, involved in show business.
Absolutely. It's a phenomenal story, and Rockin' the Kremlin is absolutely worth the read. And I'm not surprised. You know, we were talking before about Dick Clark. Of course, you jumped to it to write that, and for all the reasons we'd understand.
Yeah.
But I assume that when you found out this story, you were just as quick to say, yeah, I want some of that.
Well, I'll tell you quickly how that happened. I had actually not seen David for a few years. And then Billboard asked me to write a really in-depth piece on Ukraine and Russia in Eurovision, the politics, the rivalry, the history. And I did a lot of interviews. And I thought, I've got to find David because he went to Eurovision representing Russia. He'll have things to say. I found him. We did the interview. He said, next time you're in L.A., let me take you out to dinner. He took me to the Ivy, which you can't.
Yeah.
argue with, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And over dinner he said he said, I want to write a book about my time in Russia. And I said, do you have a publisher? No. Do you want me to talk to my editor and see if he would like your book? Yes. I called my editor, who I was working with for the first time, a new editor, and he said, I want that book. That's exactly the kind of book I want. And I said, David, yeah, good news, he wants your book. And David said, oh, would you write it? And that's when it was an immediate yes, of course.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Yeah, and you did him proud. It is just, as I say, it's truly spellbinding. You will learn about the record industry throughout the world, really. But what you're really going to see is a glimpse into the culture, like I say, that we're hearing on the news every day. And I'm sure that that David at this point mourns what's going on in Ukraine.
Oh, absolutely. And Russia.
I mean,
you know, he was there at the brightest of times. Americans were welcomed. There was freedom coming in, and of course it all, you know, went to hell.
Yeah, it did. But he was there for the best of the times, and in this book you've certainly brought it out. And I'm so glad that you got in touch, and I loved reading it. So thank you.
Oh, I love being back in touch with you. We had good times at Billboard, you and I.
Oh, absolutely.
In the office. I recall them very fondly.
Yes, Billboard, and also, of course, with our sadly now late buddy, Dr. Hitz, Louis Yokoyo, all of our doo-wop dinners and things like that. And
I think of him all the time.
Me too. I miss those days tremendously. Yeah. So hopefully we will hear from you again soon. Stay in touch.
I promise I will. I'm really glad we're back in touch.
Yeah, thanks, Fred. So Rockin' the Kremlin is the book. And as I say, just go to Raleigh.net and FredBronson.com. I've got a link right to the books page. Although if you don't go there, you'll remember it, FredBronson.com. And apologies. Yeah, I hogged Fred. I know. We'll have him on again, and we will take your questions. But next 2 hours, it's a free-for-all. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine right here on WGN Radio. and Butternut wanted to hear Wave, and I said, I'm going to play my favorite version, Antonio Carlos Jobim. That's from a 1967 A&M album called Wave, appropriately. Just wonderful. But Bonnie probably wanted lyrics, so I think we'll play Wave by the Sandpipers next break. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and apologies to Ruth. We didn't get to her when Fred was on the air with us, but we've gotten to her now. So sorry about that, Ruth. All right, well, we lost Ruth. Apologies. Yeah, the hours go by so quick, and I do apologize for that. So let's check out David, who is a second-time caller in Oak Park. What's up, David?
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing tonight?
All right, how about yourself?
Hey, doing great. So I just wanted to call, and I was talking, I think it was John, your screener. So I was just calling because I know you've had a couple callers. I think it was that Jim and then a caller, Fran, who called. And
right.
Well, you know, I was just telling your screener that, you know, basically, I'm a person myself who is visually challenged, and I know how rough it can be because, you know, I've got glaucoma and I've lost a lot of my sight. I was a high partial, but anyway, I always tell people not to get discouraged, and it is rough. And the thing that really kind of it's frustrating is when people who are not sight challenged, mm-hmm. they try to help you, but sometimes they get a little carried away. It's like we were talking about this tonight at a fundraiser I went to. So basically, they were like, "Well, you're trying to get on a bus, and somebody's trying to help you, and someone will yell and says, 'Okay, so you're on the bus,' and I'm like, 'Okay, I know that,' you know, and it says, 'I don't mind if you help me out.'" But just don't get carried away, you know. And they just don't get it, you know.
I do know. Oh, do I know. And, you know, just like to the worst degree is individuals who think that because you can't see, you're completely helpless. And my favorite story was I used to go to lunch with a friend, and invariably the waitress would say, "What is he having?" I'm like, "Well, I don't know. How about asking him?" Yeah, how about asking him? And I have another friend we were talking, and he said the worst is going to doctors. He says, I've learned I cannot take a sighted person with me because the doctors will only talk to them. And I said,
luckily mine don't do that, but yeah, it's just, but luckily I got a support system.
Yeah.
I am part of a group. Known as the American Council of the Blind of Metro Chicago, which they do a lot of good things. And I'm also on the board of the Illinois Council of the Blind, so I'm a board member. I'm also an employee of a place called the Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind. I don't know if any of you have heard of it.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I do have a chance to get into a place, possibly. I'm going to do a walkthrough tour on Friday, which is called the Foglia Residences. And it's basically tailored for those who are visually impaired, blind, and disabled,
nice.
And veterans, and it's tax credit building, so it's going to have all the amenities that are needed for people in our cases. So, and things are looking up. So, and it's really, you know, but I'll tell you, I'm not going to lie. There are days I do get frustrated, and I'm just like, oh, I wish I could do the things I used to do, but I'm just like, but I know that I deal with it, and it does get discouraged, especially with technology too, you know. So. But, can I ask you something about the Sea Crane radio?
Absolutely.
Is that easy for a person who is visually impaired or blind to work a Sea Crane, or do you need to have someone help you with that? Or
some yes and some no. Bob Crane with a Wi-Fi radio really wanted to develop things for it, and he couldn't find any manufacturer or any developer to help him with that. And at this point, like on the Wi-Fi radio, they rely on things like Siri or Alexa or one of those, which is not the best solution, to say the least. But some of the Sea Crane stuff is really good and some not as good, but their customer service is terrific, and I would call them and they'll tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, call 800-522-8863 and 5222 tune, and they'll be honest with you. They'll walk through anything you want, and of course the other thing is if you got something and you're saying, "Hey, it doesn't work for me," they take it back, so that's not an issue. But I would definitely talk to them and ask all the specifics you want.
I'm going to do that. And then also, too, I was trying to think what else. But there was, you know, and I still try to do things. I still try to go to movies and stuff, which I like, what I like to do. And then luckily for, which is great, luckily they have audio description, which they have also for Comcast, which is great for network shows. It's like it has audio, which is
yes,
great, you know.
Yes. Absolutely, and yeah. Those separate audio programs that'll do that are just tremendous.
Yeah. And then also, too, off the subject a little bit, have somebody ever requested a song? It's from maybe the 50s. It's by a song, I don't know if you've ever played it as one of your bumpers. It's by, I guess, an artist, the Big Joe Turner, called Honey Hush.
Have oh, sure. Absolutely. It? And I have played that in the past, and I'll be happy to. It'll be tomorrow because I'm awful, but I'll play Honey Hush for you tomorrow night. That's a great record.
Yeah, and I heard, because the first time I heard of him, but the first time I heard it was on the way home with my mom and stepdad, and I thought, oh, this is pretty good. And I'm someone like myself. I'm, and I'm not to rub it into anybody who listens, but I'm at 50, but I like all kinds of music, but I like older stuff too, which I can kind of relate because I just like all kinds of music. And I thought, this is interesting, the music of the time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just in that era. It's so simple, you know.
Honey Hush is interesting. It was recorded in New Orleans. Now, Big Joe Turner was not from New Orleans. He was actually a Kansas City blues guy. But they recorded that in May of 53 in New Orleans, and Atlantic released it. And it went to number one for 8 weeks on the R&B chart. So it was his second million seller. In 51, he had Chains of Love. And then other things later, of course. So, yeah, absolutely. Well-known record.
So, and of course, he's not alive anymore, is he?
No. Unfortunately, he's been gone since 1985. But remember, he was born in 1911. So he made it to 74. He died in Inglewood in California, and he's buried at the cemetery there. It was interesting because, like I say, he grew up in Kansas City, and the nightclubs were raided by the police all the time, and they had bondsmen who were at the police station before the axe got there if they were busted, and very often they were. And so yeah, it was an interesting time in the 30s in particular, and so. In the 40s, they were doing a number of things. I think that Big Joe Turner was in Duke Ellington's review in Hollywood there, and he did a lot of things like that. And originally, long before Atlantic, he was on National Records, which one of Atlantic's founders was Herb Abramson. Everybody always knows about Ahmet Erdogan, but Herb Abramson was the third partner. And before Atlantic, he had National Records, and it was Hardcore Blues, and he signed them. And in fact, there's a duet on Aladdin with Winoni Harris, which is interesting. So if you really like that stuff, there it's available. Fortunately, this is not rare stuff.
No, and I just like all kinds of different things. But yeah and then and it's just funny you mentioned that because I don't know what station it was, but every so often it comes in at night. On AM, I think it's, what's the station in, Nashville, WSM, that seems to come in here in Chicago sometimes a lot.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Nashville played Big Joe Turner, though, back in the WLAC days, it does. And of course, Turner did the original Shake, Rattle, and Roll that most people think of as a Bill Haley song, but it was absolutely Big Joe Turner.
Yeah. But God bless him. And I used to listen to, when I was like in high school, I would flip around and I would remember listening to, this is when Nick Biondi would do, like 12 hours of 50s songs, like 50s music from back in the day.
Yeah.
And he would do on Fridays, he would say, okay, we're going to play some Friday 50s. And he would talk about all the artists and this is what year it came out. And this is,
sure.
And that's what I liked. He was so educational. I said, boy, it's just really... He really had a good knowledge, just as much as you do of music.
Well, he worked it, in his career. He played R&B. He was working for a while, I think it was Louisiana, where he was on the air, where he was early on playing that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that was something I wanted to one time pursue, was to try to do something in radio, But then people had told me, some professionals had said, that is a hard business to get into, and be prepared, because it's one of those things, it's nothing's guaranteed with that. I'm like, ooh, okay. You know,
right. And what was available in the past is long gone now. But yeah, I think that Biondi was in Alexandria at KSYL, and there was a station before that, but in Bastrop, but he wasn't playing it. But at KSYL, he was absolutely playing early R&B, so he knew it firsthand.
Yeah, but yeah, well, that's great to have your knowledge. But yeah, I won't hold you up. I know you got a lot of other callers, so. But I just wanted to call and say again, like everybody else, thanks for all you're doing. Because I'm glad you're doing a lot better than you were last week.
Yeah,
so.
Man, yeah. Well, if anything would be. Of course, here I am sitting. We just got the notice. We have West Nile mosquitoes, and what did I get today? Three bites, not one, but three. And so I'm sitting here saying, well, I guess I'll know in a couple of weeks. So, but so far so good. And yeah, I'm glad you called. In fact, I'm going to talk to Jim coming up next. So that's
and
that's
great. Yeah, and I'll call you again to give you an update of how things are going. I'll try to get in as much as I can. So,
all right, good deal. Thanks, appreciate it.
Okay, Raleigh, good night. Okay, thanks again.
Absolutely, thanks. All right, and John's saying what? Mark wanted to talk to David. Well, now he's gone. I apologize, Mark. I blew it. And John even came in here. So, David, if you call me back, though, I'll punch you in with Mark. In the meantime, I'll talk to Jim. And because clearly I'm not getting any of this together. So, Jim, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Riley, for taking my call.
Always.
I have some news.
Yes.
But I would like to talk to a few other people. Can I please say to Eduardo, please leave?
Oh, he'll because be all right. No, he'll be all right. He'll be all right. He's further inland than you realize. He's not in Pinellas County.
Okay. Right, because they said on the news that it's a Category 4.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I talked to my family in Tampa, and their only concern with an LOL is whether they can get gasoline later in the week.
Yeah, exactly.
And they said they're not worried about it.
No.
And then number two, and because I love your listeners.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say about the dry cleaning thing.
Yes.
In my town, a half a mile from my house is WSLD, the radio station,
uh-huh.
104.5.
Uh-huh.
Half a mile, a quarter mile down the road is a four-star typical supper club called the Duck Inn.
Okay.
And it's four star. It's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Across the street is the Staller Winery, and there are two people that built the winery, and as they left the University of Madison to build that winery, and it's really great, the best wine in around. And then at the far end of my subdivision is a bar called Badger Bob's, and
okay.
That's what's in my town.
Right.
And I love my town. And today, this morning I called BME like you asked.
Yes.
And they said, you know, please leave a message.
All right.
And I left a message. And then later on we had to take Bear for his haircut.
Yeah.
And he looks great.
Good.
And then we went shopping. And then my back went out. So I was sitting on the front lawn because I couldn't get the groceries in the house.
Oh.
So I called BME, and the guy goes, yes, you know, I saw that you had a message, but we're out on a call. And I said, I'm sorry. And it was funny. They turned out they were at a call in Whitewater, and we had just left there from shopping. So he called later, and I described what was going on, and he was fantastic. And he says, well, you need to call this company or this company to do a diagnostic.
Okay.
And I said, yeah. I said, okay. And then when I described what was going on, he says, well, wait a minute. You know, we can, you know, look into that. And then, we talked about a lot of things. And then he said, what were the codes? And I told him, like I told you,
right.
E2, and my neighbor said F2.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
then he said, yeah. And he said, those codes don't match from what when he finally called me back later. We were talking about this. And he said, E2 and F2 don't match. And he said, would you please run, you know, the machine? And I said, yeah, I'll throw a towel in there and I'll run the machine.
Right.
And then sent me a picture of what you see. Well, that's what I did. And I did that, and then it was flashing up two codes. And I go, how can they take one picture of two codes? So I'm not eligible to do videos,
right?
You know, and send them. So I took a video, and then in my mind, I put my eye right up against the machine, and it said F263.
Oh.
And then I sent him the video, and then I took a picture of the wash machine and everything, and we talked about everything. And then later on in the day, you know, in the evening, because this was in the evening, he called back and he goes, okay, I see F3 and E2, you know, E2 and F3. But that's not what I saw.
Right.
So he goes, and he said, we're going to, you know, look at that, what you sent, and we're going to set up an appointment for next week. And I go, oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And he was very nice. And then I told him, I said, I got your information from Raleigh James. And he goes, who's that? He goes, who's that?
Yeah.
And I go, that's on WGN. And he goes, WGN? I go, yeah, WGN 720 AM from Chicago. And he goes, and he yells out real loud, animal stories.
Right. Oh, yeah, right, back on the WLS days.
So
sure,
I go,
sure. Yeah.
I go, Larry Lujack and Tommy Edwards.
Right.
And then he goes, we just bought a new record player 2 days ago for $72, and we've been playing, him and his son, Paul, and we've been playing Animal Stories for the last two nights. And I go, that's fantastic. And I said, you know, that's great. And I said, you know, I'm a big fan of WGN, you know,
yeah.
Larry Lujack, Fred Winston, and Johnny B, and all those other people. And he goes, yeah. And so then as the evening went on, he said, run the load.
Yeah.
And I took those pictures. And then he sent me back. He goes, oh, great, E2 and F3. And I had my eye right up against the machine, and I saw E2 and 6-3.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he said, and he didn't text me back. So I was wondering, you called up when I talked to you the other night, you had looked it up.
Yes.
Is there a 6-3?
No.
A G3?
No, they're letters. I don't see a G3. I see F3, and I do see the E2. That's a common one. But I'm not seeing anything with just like 63 or anything like that.
Right, because I did see a 3.
Right.
I had my eye right. My eye right up against the machine.
Yeah, I think it probably was like I say, F3. I would think so. That's the way the codes are usually written, and they say it's an indication of water temperature sensor NTC error or heating circuit failure. Check the water temperature sensor and check connections to the water temperature sensor. So
right,
yeah,
he was saying they were going to come out and run diagnostic.
Right,
they can do that from the front of the machine by pulling the panel out from underneath. And I just thought the panel under the door was just a door.
Nope.
And he said that. So then he texted me back later, can you get to the back of the machine? And I said,
Not easily. I said,
because you know it's only 1 inch between. So I sent him back a text that when they installed the dryer, they had a guy in the back of the machine, and when they lifted it in, he hooked up the electric, and then he hooked up the vent, and then he had a step ladder and a rope, and then he climbed. They pulled him over the top of the dryer.
Hang on a minute, Jim.
Back.
Don't go away, Jim. I got to do the news. I'll be right back. Stay right where you are. All right.
Thank you,
and that's
sorry.
Where we'll pick it up
Thank
on
you.
WGN Radio.
So close your eyes, for that's a lovely way to be. Aware of things your heart alone was meant to see. The fundamental loneliness goes whenever two can dream a dream together. You can't deny, don't try to fight the rising sea. Don't fight the moon, the stars above, and don't fight me. The fundamental loneliness goes whenever two can dream a dream together. Now we know the wave is on its way to be. Just catch the wave, don't be afraid of loving me. The fundamental loneliness goes whenever two can dream a dream together.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. Well, I promised Bonnie we'd also get her one with vocal, and there it is, lyrics. That's right. That's the Sandpipers. They were an easy-listening trio in the 60s, did a number of things, and I think their big hit was Guantanamera. But it was a very nice version of Wave. So there you have it, and that was 1969 on A&M. All right, 888-876-5593. 8888, Raleigh. And we're talking to Jim in Richmond. We left him off with F3E2. So they're coming next week?
They said, I sent them the text, and like I said, they asked if they can get to the back of the washer machine and stuff like that. And they said earlier they had said that they were going to come up, they could do it from the front by taking the panel off and do a diagnostic. So when I sent them the video of the code, I didn't know.
Right.
They didn't come back because it was getting late in the evening.
Sure.
So, and I wanted to say that I don't remember the name of the company, and I told them that I was calling them. I was going to tell them that I was talking to you tonight, and if you can, you know, remember the name of the place so I can recommend them, because I am a marketing person.
Yeah, well,
I thought they would be good.
Yeah. I thought they would be good because they talked about being family owned and all those kind of things. So mm-hmm. Absolutely, I will find their contact again as well. And
there was BME.
I know it was like D&M, but I'm looking here. All I have to do is look at everything I had last night,
and I marketed your show because, you know,
oh,
I
said, nice?
Listen tonight because I will tell you your name because they were very nice.
Well, it's great.
That's great. And I'm totally appreciative.
Oh, sure.
The people that were worried about me.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if I'm considered part of the family.
Oh, of course you are. D&P Appliance Repair. D&P Appliance Repair. They're in Janesville, Wisconsin. 752-2130.
I got it down when I texted him. It was BME.
No, D like dog and P like Peter. And it is DP Appliance. I think that's the way. Yeah, dpappliancerepair.com.
Right, because when I texted him, it came up as BME, but
I don't know.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, texts I don't do. Now you're outside of my world. Texts I do not do. But
right.
I
no,
do.
No, it wasn't a text. It was the email. You know.
Oh well, email. It should have come up that way. I would have thought for email. It would be deep.
I think.
Oh sure, DP Appliance.
Anyways.
DP Appliance right. @AOL.com is what's on their website. So,
right.
Yeah, DNP Appliance
right.
Repair, Janesville. All right, good. Well, keep me posted on how it goes.
I thank you.
All right.
And I wanted to say to all the other people that were, you know, worried about me, I'm okay.
All right.
And I'm, you know, looking forward to help with other things in the future.
Absolutely.
Because I'm finding out that I'm becoming just me out here.
Well, so. you're never just you. You've got all of us, and you've also got all of your angels and everything else in heaven, but the bottom line is what you need, we're going to get for you, so don't worry about it.
Okay, and thank
right.
you.
All right, thanks
and
for calling.
Have a great evening.
You too. All right, so always good to hear from Jim. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And that will take us to Mark. And Mark in Aurora. Sorry, I didn't see this when David was still on.
Yeah, I own three different Sea Crane radios, and they are all very easy for me to use as a totally blind person. And I have the pocket radio, which is nice when, for instance, I go to a Tuesday night Toastmaster meeting and I want to catch a radio program that comes on just before the meeting. It's not, you know, a huge bulky radio to carry.
Mm-hmm.
The next one I have is the CC3, which is bigger and bulkier. However, it has two things that I very much like. One of them is the double coil ferrite rod antenna, which allows incredible FM or AM sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
The mode of FM reception that it uses is a digital sampling mode, and yet it's still analog. That's kind of paradoxical, but it also pairs up with my iPhone with the greatest of ease. And when I used to have an Android phone, it paired up with that one too.
Mm.
And then I have the SkyWave 2 SSB, and what I like about that one is it has exceptional tone quality through the earbuds for such a small radio, and it routinely picks up WWVH from Hawaii at night. It is very sensitive shortwave.
Wow, that's great.
And All three of these radios use beep tones that lets you know when you have actuated one of the push buttons. The only drawback for a totally blind person like me is that I can't read the signal strength meter, and there's no audio indicator for the signal strength meter. But I have talked with Sea Crane Techs, and they've told me how, for instance, if you add a shortwave antenna to the built-in socket on the SkyWave SSB2, it will make distant shortwave stations sound like they are local.
Yeah, it does a nice job. You're right.
And yeah, you have to have a nice long wire to do that.
Yeah.
But this is great equipment, and I agree with you. The customer service people are second to none.
Yeah.
And they are all knowledgeable and friendly. And I can't deny that they've stretched a warranty once or twice to accommodate little things like delays in shipping and so forth. It's not, you know, they're not pushovers, but they do work hard to accommodate the customer. And even my Verizon phone service, as good as their customer service is, it isn't quite as good as Sea Crane. Sea Crane is marvelous.
All right, now I'm looking here, and Leah has a question for you. So we're going to see if we can join Leah to the conversation. So, Leah, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Well,
yeah, what does she want
Mark.
To ask me?
Yep.
Hi, Mark.
Hello.
I want to know if you ever got your cat.
We're still working on that. I was over to Debbie's house, and the cat that I had picked out didn't seem to take to me, and Debbie talked with her daughter about it, and they agreed that maybe he would take to me a little better if she were around, because she's used to having him around, or he's used to having her around. If not, Martha did take to me. So even if Jackson never does, there's always Martha. Jackson is a little furrier, but I could go with Martha just as long as I have a cat. So the next thing
we're going
to do
girls love their daddies.
Ah, so how about that? Girls love their daddies. So maybe that's it. Maybe Martha's the winner.
Because I used to have a little girl, and she used to sleep on Albert's head.
Oh.
No. Yeah, but I love little kitties, and I have plenty of My Pillow pillows around here for a cat to be happy on.
All right, well keep us posted, Mark.
Keep us posted. Yeah. Let us know when you get them.
Yeah.
Well, after I do a second visit at Debbie's house, I'm then going to do a visit at my house. And then we'll see where we go from there.
The apartment
management not only wants a $300 deposit from me, they also want me to fill out some forms, and they also want to inspect my apartment to see whether they think it would be good for a cat to live there.
$300, that's outrageous.
No, that's pretty normal, Leah. I hate to say it.
Is it?
Yes.
This is what happens when you live in a building that has a little bit of assistance for people. They tend to want to run your life sometimes.
Guaranteed. That's right. Keep me posted, Mark.
We will.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
But tell David any Sea Crane radio he purchases will be just fine.
All right. Well, you just did, and thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Righto. Bye bye.
All right, and thanks,
bye.
Leah. Okay, appreciate the call.
Thanks, Raleigh.
Okay, bye. And we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
I choose to see the world through rose-colored glasses, so as not to cry the holiday through. There's so much room in so many places, yet when I sing a song or two, to some enchanted place I know in my heart, there's a sun rising high in the sky today. A bird is high on the way. There's a distant sound of so many children at play, and all the happiness brings. Drifting far away to some enchanted place I know in my heart, wrapped up in the arms of that someone I love, who knows and understands my ways. A soul to touch, who holds my hand like a glove, to make a life for all of my days. I want to stay away from all the mad and hardly insane. If it's only for a little while we are here, let us stroll a little while in the sun. To the beautiful sound that I hear, and love me till the day is done.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Eliani Elias, and she actually is a very well-known opening act. She's from Sao Paulo originally. She lives in New York now, and she and her second husband. But whether it was Toquinho and Benicia, she was on tour with them, or whether it was Antonio Carlos Jobim, she's certainly been there, and she's been putting out records since the mid-'80s. So I'm glad that Eduardo brought her up last night. And he mentioned he wanted to hear that, which is, I think, from a 2015 CD. It was the CD was called Made in Brazil, The Story of My Life. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And it looks like we're hearing from Andrew. So, Andrew, welcome back to WGN. Are you living somewhere now?
yeah, we are between Winnemac and Ashland.
All right.
And, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it's a studio. Well, I call it a one-bedroom because there is a bedroom with a door that shuts. So I think by definition makes it a one-bedroom. I don't know. He feels like we're just spending the night somewhere. It's still sinking into him.
Okay.
But I'm very glad. I'm happy for it. I mean, it's $10.50 a month, okay, in Chicago. So it's get what you pay for.
Yeah, but at least there's a roof over your head and there's no one trying to kick you out.
Exactly.
And so that
it was so relieving to me.
Yeah, that's peace of mind right there. All right, I want you to hang on. I want to hear the rest of the story. Don't go away. We'll also get to James on the South Side. We got another hour of this right after the news coming up right here. I'm Raleigh James, 888-876-5593. It's WGN Radio.
It ain't the meat, it's the motion. Makes your daddy wanna rock. It ain't the meat, it's the motion. It's the movement that gives it the sock. Now I had a girl so doggone thin, no meat, no bones, she was just all skin. One thing about her I can understand, she wraps all around me like a rubber band. It ain't the meat, it's the motion. Makes your daddy wanna rock. It ain't the meat, it's the motion. It's the movement that gives it the sock. It ain't the meat, it's the motion. Makes your daddy wanna rock. It ain't the meat, it's the motion. It's the movement that gives the sock. You find some girls who are big and fat. Some fellas don't like to see them like that. But I like to see them big and tall. The bigger they come, the harder they fall. It ain't the meat, it's the motion. Makes your daddy wanna rock. It ain't the meat, it's the motion. It's the movement that gives the sock.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. The Swallows, probably the best thing to come out of Baltimore. And that's Bunky Mac singing lead on It Ain't the Meat. And that's 1951 on King, and that was Fran and Austin's request. All right, so we're talking to Andrew, who now has a roof over his head, which is excellent news. So, continue.
Still here. I mean, that's it. I had a job interview with Mariano's a few days ago.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully it went well.
Good.
I had to quit Jill Osco. I mean, A&T grocery store.
Why?
My boss was just insane.
Okay.
You know, and asked, and a few days after they hired me, they hired somebody else, and she quit. Evidently, I discovered the day I was quit. I definitely quit.
Okay.
The day I was quit, you know, I messaged her and, like, told her why I quit, and I told her. Basically, it evidently is the same thing. But I don't want to go on over the radio in case he hears, and I don't want to get in trouble for that.
So meanwhile, looks like Mariano's might be next up.
Yeah, and besides, you know, it's a 15-minute walk to that Mariano's.
Okay.
Well, it would take about 45 minutes to get to the Jalasco I was working at.
Okay. Well, excellent.
You know, it works out. Also, my on this 7th, 8th, 9th. I think it was the 8th or the 9th of September. I asked God, you know, for help, signs.
Yes.
I was in a phase where I thought, you know, he forsake us. I really do get into those moments. And then I kept having flashes of the 12-step house in Chicago, which is a clubhouse for AA and NA and the others. And I had gone there 5 years before, had I been there in 5 years, and I just had having flashes of it. So I went back almost daily, because I usually only do online, and I've been pretty much there every day, or at least every other day.
Okay.
And it's truly, there is something so much better being in a meeting.
Yes,
with
absolutely.
Real people around.
That's right.
You know,
that
is right. My new sponsor told me, you know, wake up call. Lockdown is over. And Jesus, she is right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's much more, well, I don't have to explain it. We all know why it would be different.
Yeah, and so that's great. Good. I'm glad you have that.
And the real kicker is that this apartment winds up is actually a 15-minute bus ride, just one bus.
All right.
Right next to me.
So the Lord did not forsake you.
No.
All right.
So, I'm not nearly as anxious. But the fact that I went through all last week, moving 3 consecutive days in a row, it was just me and him and U-Haul truck.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the last day we ran out of money, so I had to borrow money to rent the truck the final time.
Mm-hmm.
Between all that hell, you know, and taking things to storage and everything, between all that hell, I didn't smoke one cigarette.
Good.
8 days.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Well, actually, it's midnight, so 9. It would be 9 now. But yeah, and it's amazing because, you know, that last day I smoked a cigarette, I remember having 6 hours since I had one, and I smoked it outside the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt my lungs getting heavy and my energy went weird. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I just can't.
Yeah.
You know, my lungs are already feeling better, actually.
Good.
You know, I'm coughing a lot.
That's all right.
But yeah.
Excellent.
But overall, things are, and my dogs literally love the new place.
Good.
There's a yard for them.
Good. All right.
And,
so things are looking up.
Yeah. Just pray that I get the job.
Absolutely.
And, thank you. I'm glad to be part of your radio family.
As you are. Yes, indeed. I keep hoping that one of these days you'll be able to get a job that will be able to put your soap opera knowledge to use, because you know more about soap operas than anyone alive. I just don't know how to monetize it.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah. No, you'd be perfect.
But we can think of something. But anyway, talk to you later, okay?
All right. Thanks for calling. So there goes. Andrew's got a roof over his head and don't have to worry about it. And it was looking bleak for quite a while there. So good. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Laura and Willowbrook, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
What's up?
For some reason, this song's just been going over in my head. And I wonder if you could tell me anything about it, and then if you enjoy the song, if you could play it for me sometime.
What is it?
Hang on a minute. I think it's called Shoop Shoop something.
The Shoop Shoop song, Betty Everett. Yeah, the Shoop Shoop song, Betty Everett.
Yes.
Well, that's a big hit. And
I like that song.
And that's a Chicago record.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, in parentheses after the Shoop Shoop song, it says it's in his kiss. And interestingly, though we all know about it being a Betty Everett hit, she was not the first to release it. Mary Clayton did. And then a year later, Betty Everett released it, and it was like number one on the R&B charts on Cashbox and all that. And Cher covered it in 1990. Don't listen to it. It'll bother you. But it's in his kiss. And interestingly, the first group to get it, to be offered the song, was the Shirelles. Now, remember when you first write a song, and Rudy Clark wrote it, when you first write a song, the first use, you can give it to whomever you want. In other words, no one can record it before you give it the first time. After that, anyone can record it. So anyway, Rudy offered it to the Shirelles, and they said no. So the first single was Mary Clayton, and that was done in Los Angeles. And she had done some other things as well. And so it had to do with the publishing and all that. But anyway, Rudy Clark offered it to Mary, who Jack Nitzsche produced it. And it was the Blossoms were the chorus. So, you know, that would be big time stuff like Darlene Love. And it did absolutely nothing. So Calvin Carter, who was the A&R guy at VJ, had been looking for material. And he came across, in fact, it was actually a trip to New York that he came across it, and he came across a couple things. You're No Good, of course, and also It's In His Kiss is the follow-up. And you know, nobody thought there would be very much about it. The background for Betty Everett was the Opals. And they were from East Chicago. So that was the deal. And it went to number six on the pop charts. I mean, it was a hit. And in 64, Billboard did not have an R&B chart, but Cashbox did, and it went to number one on Cashbox. But like I say, originally, it was Mary. And then Ramona King covered it, and heck, Jerry Riopelli even did it, who was an interesting guy as far as that goes. But the hit was absolutely Betty Everett. But I'll try to find the Mary Clayton for you, too, and play that as well.
That's great. It's amazing how a song you think would start with one person, but it actually bounces to somebody else and it comes a hit. It happens so often. Good gosh.
Yes, absolutely, it happens often. Unless the artists themselves wrote the song, very often there's a story behind how they came to record whatever it was. And you know, a number of people covered this song, but I don't think, unfortunately, Linda Ronstadt was one of them. But I don't think anyone nailed it as well as probably Betty Everett. But Mary Clayton, that's a contender. So I'll try to play them both for you.
Yeah, that would be great. I'll be listening, and have a great night. Thank you, Riley.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, so, yes, the Shoop Shoop song, It's In His Kiss. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Tubby is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN. How's it going, Tubby?
I'm doing pretty good. I fell, Riley, and I can't believe I'm walking. I went upside a tree, you know, and the roots come up out of the ground.
Oh, no.
A couple of days ago, and I was trying to jump over so I wouldn't touch the dirt part. You know,
oh,
dogs,
no.
Some people don't clean up.
No.
Look, I went upside on my right side.
Oh.
And you know how people exercise, you get that little bit of pain.
Yeah.
You know, because you exercise.
Uh-huh.
I am so grateful. I'm still walking.
Yay.
I have no complaints, but I cannot believe they didn't take me away in an ambulance. Honest to God.
Well, the Lord was looking out for you. Thank God.
I mean, that's really big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I didn't really plan to call tonight, but when you played The Wave,
yeah,
man, I can't believe that was one song that I did not know about.
Really?
It's just the last 2 years. And I'm always, when I get a real nice something, they just put it on my YouTube list.
Yeah.
But when I get something like that, I'm always sending music to my friends.
Yeah.
They love it when I forward some music to them. And so anyway, I had two stories.
Yeah.
I've been saving them. But, you know, people have stuff that is more important than me just sharing some of the stuff that impressed me. But the thing about it, when I'm sharing these stories, like I said, this is not a name dropping. This is about when people give you something to emulate, okay?
Uh-huh.
By their own actions and behaviors. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
And just like the guy that, he said, I can't do a shout-out to your mom because ESPN won't let me.
Mm.
But he took the phone number and called my mom. It was just, you know what I'm saying? He didn't have to do that. You
yeah.
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And anyway, because we used to listen to in 2008, anybody knows that they were playing Sunday Night Baseball. They had Chicago on. Seemed like more than anybody else. Okay, now, I had a story about James Earl Jones. These are true stories, too. This is not Dame Brown stuff, but it just shows you. He came, I was at a cocktail party in D.C., and I wasn't thinking about nothing. You know, when you're young, people invite you to stuff. He came in the room, and I swear, Riley, everybody froze. He had that kind of presence.
Wow.
He came in the room, and everybody stopped. It got quiet. It was just like, oh, there was another one, too. When we went to see Tina Turner, my girlfriend took me. I had no idea. She said, I'm not going to tell you. It's at the United Center, because I never had that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
So we went, and I just have to say who it was. It was the night the Bonners were there, and so was, what's her name? What's it? Oprah. And everybody was looking up over the side and flashing and everything. I didn't even know what was going on. You know, when they did the one of them costume change things,
mm-hmm.
it was so funny. But she did Nutbush.
Yeah.
And they took her across the stage from the, you know, people that were sitting down on the ground level in chairs, and they took this thing that went across over their heads, and she had this microphone, and she was swinging it. And it was like, I swear it was the best concert I'd ever been to in my life, okay?
Wow.
And, I mean, it was just, okay, now the other story was about, okay, let me think. That's why I make notes, because I forget. Oh, one night, remember I told you I did all the menus down there to taste and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, one night I said, I'm not getting in that crowd. I don't like the crowd. I like the beach crowd. You know how people try to beat the rush.
Mm-hmm.
So I was heading over to State Street from by north by the Grand Park, but it was like north of where, you know, Patillo Band Shell was. And I'm telling you, I guess they were closing out. I was jamming live to Frankie Beverly and Maze all the way across. Look, I'm walking to State, and they were jamming Joy and Pain, Sunshine and Rain. Girl, I rocked myself all the way home.
Wow, that's so great. Nice. That's great.
It was just so cool, because I was just like, I was so glad I left. I said, I'm not going to get, because the lines would be for 4th of July, the lines would be all the way up State Street coming back towards Michigan Avenue to get in the red line.
Wow.
Anyway, I just, you know, people have stuff that's important and serious. So Jim and James, you always have my love. Y'all so special. You say, oh, thank you, Riley, for taking my call. And you're special, too. The bottom line is, you know, give somebody, you know, it's rough, but I'm not the person sitting here not being able to go and get a glass of water. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then the last thing, they were showing this thing on LBJ. He grew up in the country. I didn't know. It was illuminating to hear that people can reach different heights in their life. You know, you can get and you can dream. People are supposed to, you know, live your dream. Don't give up. Be strong. They grew up in the back country with no water, running, no bathrooms inside. And he was the one they said they got electricity out there in the country, where he grew up in that area, mm-hmm. in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I had forgotten he was from Texas.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we just have to reach down and grab a hand. You ain't got to do the world for a person. Just sometimes, just a little smile, somebody. Just a little smile. That's all they need sometimes. But, bless you, my sister. But when you played the way, I said, uh-huh, there you go.
Yeah.
I knew it was something. I didn't know what it was. I said, she got, okay, this song is called, I want to know if you know this song. It's by, what's this man's name? That's why I have to write stuff down. Anyway, they played it. I went to Antioch in Yellow Springs, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and I swear to God, they played it on the first floor of somebody's college room, you know, their dormitory room,
mm-hmm.
and the turntable, over and over. It just played 24/7, 365. I'll have it for you next time.
Okay.
I want to know if you know that song.
I want to hear anyway, it. Let me know.
I know, because, you know, I got short. You can't play the whole thing. It takes a long time to play the whole song. But I'll tell you next time, because I got short term. I'm looking at the album cover and everything.
Okay.
But I think you might like this one, because like he said, I ain't playing no songs I don't like.
All right.
So, bless you, my sister.
Talk to you soon.
Have a good night.
Okay, you too. Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to James and his stories, and there's still room for you on WGN Radio.
Yeah. This is the strip polka.
I adore this number. To the gay lyrics of Handsome Harry Cruzelbon.
There's a burlesque theater where the gang loves to go to see Queenie, the cutie of the burlesque show. And the thrill of the evening is when out Queenie skips and the band plays the polka while she strips. Take it off, cries a voice from the rear. Take it off, soon it's all you can hear. But she's always a lady, even in pantomime. So she stops, and always just in time. She's as fresh and as wholesome as the flowers in May, and she hopes to retire to the farm someday. But you can't buy a farm until you're up in the chips. So the band plays the polka while she strips. Take it off.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Johnny Mercer, Strip Poker, 1942 on Capitol, and Fran and Austin wanted to hear that. And we got James on the South Side. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How's it going, James?
Fine. How are you? I'm glad you're feeling better. Yeah. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, yes. Yes, always. So, interesting stories we have here. We won't mention the name of the discount broker, but it's not the least bit surprising. And what it is was a shopper in this giant chain discovered that they had an interesting way of handling expired product. They just changed the expiration dates. In this case, it was orange juice. And, you know, I guess there's a way to explain it. Maybe they had just incorrectly put the stickers in the first place and it was just an honest mistake. But the reality is this happens in grocery stores across the country with alarming regularity. I certainly think at least once a week when I'm looking through something, I see expired products.
Oh, eggs, I've seen it happen a few times.
Yeah, but in this case, what the shopper did was notice there were multiple stickers, and as she peeled them off, the current expiration date underneath it was an expiration date prior to her looking at the item. So, I would think that it is all too commonplace. Now, one thing I will say is very often on produce you'll see two dates. The thing to understand there is that they're not changing the dates. The first date is the date that the item has been picked by, or if it's like orange juice, squeezed by. The second date is the date that it expires. So it's not unusual to see two stickers. But stickers on top of stickers, well, there you go.
Yeah, and considering what has happened, the recalls, you start thinking, oh, yeah, it doesn't make you feel too good.
No, it doesn't. All right, so you gave me that, and now you have one of the horrible stories. You have a father of four trying to cash a check to buy school supplies for his kids, and the bank employee calls the cops on him. Well, I guess the thing to understand is the man happened to be African-American. It also, by the way, happened to be his money, near as I can tell. But here's this guy walking into a bank in Delray Beach, Florida, and here's the manager, who immediately dials 911, referring to him as a 6-foot-tall man with dreads wearing a black hoodie. All right, and so...
And I doubt he wasn't wearing that.
Exactly. And he was frisked. He feared for his life. And I'm very pleased to say the guy's suing the bank. I would, too.
Yeah, and even the police thought, you guys are very... Because they made certain that the bank took care of him. Because they know... Because he had told them it was the third time that they had done some sort of strange business this way.
Isn't that fascinating?
They're trying to cover their tushes by saying, oh, we always do this.
Yeah, they always do that. Yeah, right, right. Several times a day they do that. No, not hardly. So that was, interestingly, he's demanding a jury trial. Now, I don't know if he'll get it. You know, that'll be at the discretion of the court. But it would be nice to see all of this come out because, as you say, I'm sure it's not the first time.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I suspect that it's, they've done it, and okay, it would probably be embarrassing, which is probably why they're trying to, like, say, oh, no, no, don't expose that.
Yeah.
It's like they said, don't look there.
I hope the man moved his money to another bank. I'm sure he did, but I sure hope he did. All right, so.
Oh, yeah.
Now, now we have the story of the two-year-old found wandering around a Miami Beach hotel alone in a wet swimsuit top and a diaper. Where were the parents? They were out clubbing. They were in town from Baltimore celebrating several birthdays, but before they went out for the night, they left their daughter in care of her siblings. Now, you would assume if these are teenagers, no, the siblings were 5, 11, and 12. And, you know, the 12 on the border, but the 5 and 11. So now the couple, now that they've been facing, of course, all sorts of charges, they're saying it was a small, tragic mistake. No, this was a huge mistake.
Yeah, because, I mean, considering some of the stories I've read, like the child who walked out of the out in the middle of the night and got killed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that one, yeah. And I'm, like, thinking, they are lucky.
Right. By the way, just a small mistake. We're out clubbing. You'd think that this is 9 at night. No, the security guard in the building called police when he heard a girl screaming at 3 in the morning, Mama, Papa. And the police arrived, found the crying toddler, rounded up all four children. And meanwhile, the parents have temporarily lost custody while this is being investigated. And the worst part is it was just a small mistake. No, lady, this is big time.
And why at 3-something you should be at home?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, just a small mistake. It's only 3 in the morning, and we've left 4 children alone in a hotel room. And by the way, that begs the question, the toddler walks out of the hotel room probably much earlier than 3 a.m. Didn't the siblings notice? Well, no, because...
I think they would.
And the answer is no, because they shouldn't have been allowed to be in charge.
Yeah, and they this was too young for them anyway, even for the 12-year-old.
Yeah, right. Like I say, the 12-year-old is almost on the border, but not to be in charge of 3 children under that, including a toddler and a 5-year-old and an 11-year-old. Yeah. So no shock there. Now, yesterday you had mentioned that you were sending me the Corvette article. It is to drool over. And that is a couple of guys who had over 60 years ago started crossing the country looking for Corvette parts and memorabilia. And it turns out that one of them died. And now a year later, they've gotten into his garage. And boy, does he have some nice Corvettes. And so they're being put up for auction.
Yeah, and I saw that. I said, oh, I know you'll love that.
Yeah, the 63 Corvette split window AC coupe, very nice, very nice. One of fewer than 200 still in existence. The 63 Corvette Stingray Roadster, nice. And and so apparently October 5th is the date of the auction, and they're in varying parts. Again, they were restoring cars, so some of them you look at it and you say, well, there's a few pieces missing here. Yes, some of them are absolutely a work in project, but nonetheless, Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Wisconsin, 9:30 in the morning, Saturday, October 5th. All right.
Yeah. So somebody, even the ones that worked in progress. Hey, if you get somebody who knows how to put things together,
right,
and they know have access,
yeah, if they want to, sure, if they want to do it, it's certainly good because back then it was possible to work on those cars. I mean, anymore you wouldn't have the equipment and diagnostics to do it, but back then, absolutely, it could be a backyard project.
Yeah, then there was. The one about where the cruise line that decided, okay, you can't have your power cords and stuff like that for your different electronic gizmo.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that story just infuriated me. And what it was, Cruise Ship Line has decided that it could be fatal if something went wrong with your electronic devices and caused a ship fire and all that. Well, all that's well and good, but the problem is that they never retrofitted their cabins. In some cases, they don't even have electricity close enough to the bed to use a CPAP machine. And so here are the hapless cruisers, and they bring all their stuff, and they bring all their extension cords and all that, and now completely outlawed on the ship. So I agree with the cruisers who said, you know, there are other cruise ships to choose. And that's pretty much, you know, I simply will go elsewhere. And I don't blame them a bit. Because this is a big thing these days in terms of, go to any hotel room. If they haven't been retrofitted, you know, here you've got your cell phone, you got this, you got that, and you've got absolutely no outlets for it. So most of the people who book these things would always recommend pack extra multi-plug adapters and extension cords. And now Royal Caribbean says all banned. So
yeah, it's sad, but
well, you know, maybe they ought to retrofit some cabins.
Yeah, they would probably see a boost.
Right. But, and especially for the people, again, who are using them for medical devices, they're worried about the ship catching on fire. You may have another kind of a lawsuit. So yeah, that drove me crazy. As always, great stories, and thank you.
Okay, right. I don't know if you saw about the mail. We went to the mail carrier who dumped the mail.
We will talk about we will talk about that tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Okay. So 888-876-5593 8888 Raleigh. Also, Delta's being sued. And oh, last week, United almost had, they did have a very close call, but they almost had mayhem. And I really have to wonder about the air traffic controllers on this one. So all that and more will be coming up. But so are your calls. 888-876-5593. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine too, right here on WGN Radio.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Machine.
Get on up.
Wait a minute. Shake your arm, then use your palm. Stay on the scene. I like a sex machine. You got to have the feeling. Sure as your bone. Get it together. Right on, right on. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. James Brown, of course. Who else? Sex Machine Part 1, don't you know? 1975 on Polydor. And it was Brian and Seneca who wanted to hear that tasteful ditty. Yes. Oh, now he has. All right. So a lot of news lately. More than usual about all the scams that are going on out there. And, you know, we've talked about the romance scams a lot. But we'll review this again because it just worries me tremendously. And as you know, we had a caller who right now does not believe it's a scam, but is involved in what the FBI would call pig fattening. That's exactly what they call it. And what they mean by that is that they fatten the pig before the slaughter, meaning that someone will call and play on your favors and build up a relationship only on the phone, and it's very close and very loving and all that. And then at some point, they start asking you for money. They're overseas with their children, or they're working on an oil rig, or you name it. And it might be just a little bit at first, but ultimately, you look at this and there is story after story of, and it's not only women. In fact, this is the surprising part. The FBI has said it's more men than it is women at this point. But next thing you know, you've given close to $1 million by somebody who is there to do nothing but take your money. So just horrifying as far as that goes. But I'll be honest with you, while I hate to see that, those scams don't scare me too much, because I would hope that for most people you'll have better judgment than that. The ones that are frightening are how good now are the online scams, where people are deceived into believing they're really dealing with a bank or they're really dealing with a broker or what have you, only to lose, you know, literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I've parsed through all of them. And the first thing I will tell you on this is that if ever you're doing something online, always look at the URL, the address on the top bar. And if it in any way differs from the address, you know, that right there is game over. But you'd be surprised how many people don't notice it. Maybe it's close to the address, and because the scammers are good. They'll come up with URLs that are very close. And you look at the sites, and they look so real. They'll even have cautions about online scams, for instance. But the amount of people who are otherwise bright with it, knowing people who have been taken, is just utterly alarming. And now, in addition to the URLs, which is to me the big telltale thing that I've noticed on virtually all of them, the other thing is what they're preying on is greed. If the deal is too good to be true, if all the banks are giving you CDs at 4.5% and you see something that's giving you one at 7.5%, no. Just be afraid, very afraid. And, you know, it's one thing if you're duped into something that is an FDIC insured or something like that. It's another thing if it's just an out-and-out scam. And at this point, people are not able to even handle the volume of scams that are out there to help people. Counties versus counties. And, when you're looking at the URL, make sure that it's all in English. Make sure that the letters are the same as they appear on your keyboard. Make sure that none of them are Cyrillian. I kid you not. And so, you know, this is so out of hand now that, yes, be afraid, very afraid. And what really got me in the last couple weeks is the amount of people who have been duped after checking with their own banks. They go to the bank, they say, you know, I'm going to transfer this this money here and all that. I want to make sure it's not a scam. And the teller or whatever, they look at it. Oh, yeah, it looks legitimate to me. They're not going to know. Don't trust that, number one. But absolutely, the less you can do online financially, the better online financially. And also, as we've also talked about, don't use debit cards to buy things. Use credit cards. And the reason for, pay them off at the end of the month. You don't have to get hit with finance charge. The reason for that is there are so many laws that protect you from credit card theft, but there are virtually no laws that protect you from debit card theft. And then you're at the mercy of your bank reimbursing you when you find out you have a problem. So do not use debit cards. It's online. It's just not in your best interest. I wouldn't use them at all, period, but not in your best interest. But be aware, very aware, because as I say, the shocking part from these stories is how many people are otherwise sophisticated, knowledgeable, reasonable people. Yeah, the romance scams, that's another deal. But the financial scams, they're getting very sophisticated. Be afraid, very afraid. And of course, 21 hours from now, we'll find something else to scare the living daylights out of you. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank Fred Bronson for joining us in the first hour. That will be up there with the replays after the show. Thank John for screening your calls, of course. But above all, I thank you for calling. You make the show a pleasure to do. Let's do it again tomorrow night. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.